Blog Talk Radio.
Cried so many hours trying to make it right. Just didn't have the power, and you ignored all my tears in the hopes they disappear. I tried to let it go,
but I can't.
You just don't want to know. And if I had a dime for every time I tried to call your name, oh, tell me I'd be wealthy. Learned that I could cope.
Well.
I discovered I could make it. Oh. In nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold. I discovered I could take it. Oh. Now I wouldn't change a thing, no. Not for the knowledge that I've gained. Let me say it like this, I learned that I could grow. care to everybody. This is Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You. And I'm excited for coming before you. First show in 2019. So the title is Real Talk 2019. Now, the question you may ask is, why would I check out that show? First of all, it's the only father and daughter blog talk radio show in the country. So we're going to come at you strong. We're going to come at you hard. You know, and I see the board is already filling up with people with questions. You know, I'm so excited about having an opportunity to come before you. Now, as we get into our show, I want to make sure that I share some things with you in regards to what's happening in our community and what's going on that we'll make sure we pay note of. Now, as I say, it's the only father and daughter blog talk radio show in the country, bringing you energetic conversation about political, social, economics, educational, financial, as well as just plain old life issues. And I have with me my co-host, my daughter. She's, you know, as I've been sharing with you for the last part of 2018, she's been in and out of rehab. I went with her today. So we're making great gains. She off the crutches. She don't need a cane. She's walking, but still we're dealing with the bend, trying to get it at the required 100 and some degrees that need to bend that right knee. So we're still working hard, and I know she has said she had a struggle, tough day today. I know when I dropped off at the house, she would say, I don't know, Dad, I might be able to make it or not. But you know what? Our prayers is for her to be successful. We thank each and every one of you for praying that we managed to get to this point. So our co-host, Lauren D. Smith, my daughter, she's going through that rehab, and like I said, she would normally be here, but she's not here, and it's been kind of struggling at times during the end of the year, and she wanted to start the new year off right. However, you know, she had a rough day today and trying to bend that knee, get it where it needed to be, but, you know, that's all right. I'm going to carry this side, her side, as well as our special guest, expert. We have two of them. But at this point, there's only one of them on the line, and I want to make sure I give her a shout-out and give her the right introduction. Joining us as our special expert from the state of South Carolina, the home of the 2019 national champion for college football, the Clemson Tigers, none other than my of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, which J, hashtag J16 will be her founding day, Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
I'm doing fine. How are you? And Happy New Year. And Happy New Year to all of our listeners who are with us tonight.
Awesome, awesome. You know, it's so amazing to be back in the new year. We can't, it is not amazing, but, you know, God has blessed us. That's why if you're not amazed, then that's your problem. But I'm truly, truly being blessed, and I know the same on your end, Scarlett, that you're all being blessed on the end. So we, you know, make sure we're going to call it amazing. He do amazing things. We allow him to do it. Awesome, awesome. You know, and our other special guest expert is Dr. Olivia E. Smith. She hadn't made it on the line as of this point, so I assume she'll join us in a little bit. But, you know, Scarlett, it's just you and I. We can do it. You know, this J9 and J16, a week apart. So we're going to make it do what it do. You in agreement with that?
I'm in agreement. We took the year out in December, and we can enter the new year doing the same thing tonight. So I'm ready.
Exactly. Awesome, awesome. Let me take an opportunity to do a few house cleaning things. You know, in regards to the month of January, most of our sorority and fraternity of the Divine Nine are founded in that month. And we want to make sure we mention each one of our team members that's in a organization so they can be recognized. On J13, Dr. Olivia E. Smith, a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, had their Founders Day. On J15, which will be tomorrow, Lauren D. Smith, a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, will be having their Founders Day. As I mentioned, my sister of the Blue and White family, Scarlett H. Black,
Founding day will be hashtag J16, which will be Wednesday. And my founding day was on January the 9th, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. So we're excited to recognize everybody, saying happy founding day. If I didn't call out your year or call out your date, happy founding day to you. But to each of my members of my team, I want to say that especially happy founding day to you. So,
and I want to join you in saying that also happy Founders Day to all of our sisters and brothers in Greekdom. We collectively, we do a lot of work together in our communities. We care about our communities, and we work to show that each and every day. So congratulations to all of us who have celebrated Founders Day this month, and those that maybe whose name we didn't call, but the ones coming up tomorrow, AKAs, and ours on the 16th.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Scarlett, for just, you know, just making sure we get that point across to everybody. Now, just remember, we're all about talking about political, social, economics, educational, financial, and just plain old life issues. And we got a log full of important things. But let's give you the call-in number so you can be a major part of it. If you want to say something, you want to share your thoughts, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, identify your last four digits of your cell or telephone number, and then ask you to identify yourself and your location. And if you want to just go to the web link just to hear the show, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. And you want to tweet the show, you can have that same opportunity by going to @TalkingReal with the number 2 and you, or @LorenzaDSmith, or @Coach_L_Smith, and we'll make sure we get the other ones as we slowly move into 2019. All right, Scarlett, we want to kind of get started, but I do want to take this opportunity because in my earlier broadcast of the previous show, I mentioned that there was the loss of life in regard to a law enforcement officer in Birmingham, Alabama, and since I know how close this was because one of my former players, he's a police officer up in Birmingham from when I had him in middle school or junior high school. That was his partner. His partner ended up getting shot and killed over on Saturday night trying to break up a situation, a fight at one of the clubs at 2 a.m. So our condolence to to his family. Also to the city of Birmingham. Police department to make sure we do that, and just the community in general. You know, we can have our differences in the way we handle things, but whenever we lose another male, black male, because he was black, so we losing another cornerstone, another stone in our being successful for training young men as a role model, as a police officer. You know, he's just doing his job. He's serving the community. However, that was a situation. He was not the only one. He was the only one killed, but it was several other officers shot as well. So it was a good, complete shootout at a club coming out of the so. We got to understand guns ain't nothing to play with, and these individuals that we sometimes want to uphold, we can't continue to uphold, and we got to put them out on Front Street so we can put this stopping to you know, if we want to get a block by block, capture block by block, we got to put the guns down. We have to put the weapons down, and we got to be able to communicate with one another. And that's what this show is all about, just plain old life issues. And our title for tonight, it's just real talk about 2099. I'm sorry. Ooh, what I'm doing, 2099.
2019. You already got the 99.
Hey, you hear me? Scott, I'm trying to get the 99. I know. Lord,
you're getting it down to 99. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I mean, we as low as Methuselah, like they said, but.
You got that right.
2019, our 21st. 21st century.
And let me also
say
that in addition, sorry to hear about the officer in Birmingham, but we also had two female officers and they were rookies on the forces. I forgot, can't call the names right now, but our condolences go out to those families too. These were two females And even here in Greenville, we had a female to try to break up a domestic violence situation downtown Greenville and had her jaw broken. So she's out of commission. Unfortunately, she survived, but it could have gone another way. So it's dangerous out there for our first responders, now law enforcement officers, and we should make sure that we treat all of these institutions, those that try to do their best to keep us safe. You know, we have the good and the bad everywhere you go, but I like to think that we have more good folks who are trying to keep us safe than we do those that do not. So we just have to keep that in mind. And as you said, we have to also call it out. We got to stop hiding behind race and even our own race when things are not good. Things are not well, and we know that it's wrong. We've got to call it out and call it what it is. So our condolences, again, go out to all those officers and their families who go to work every day trying to provide for their families. So we just need to keep that in mind.
Awesome, awesome, Scarlett. You know, I tell you, you know, we could be on this in all night, but we're going to try to jump to our topic of discussion tonight. And real talk about 2099. We're gonna look at
19.
Okay, I'm sorry. I keep saying 99. Why am I in such a hurry? That 2019. You know, 2019. One of the social issues that I thought that would be good to kind of see how our public and see how our listeners and whoever's joining us can share their thoughts on it. And the question was, why do we have to deal with fake people in society? Now, we had heard about fake news, but what about fake people? Now, I want to kind of center that around, and the discussion is going to be around individuals sometimes as friends, individuals that even in our family, individuals on our job, and fake, with meaning they're not going to be real. They're going to try to underhand and do everything. You know, we have another name for that as well. But these are people fake. They say they're for you, but they're not really for you. A lot of time they would rather see you fail than succeed. So how do we deal with it? Why in this society, you know, we're dealing with people that's considered to be fake people. And and we all have encountered it. And we know you have some thoughts about it. And the calling number is 347-857-4192. But, Scarlett, tell me any thought in regards to why we have to deal with fake people in our society. And we all have encountered them. And we may have another name for them, but this is the name we're going to go with tonight. And if you have some thoughts on the line, call in, let us know, or just press 1 and we'll make sure we get you on the line. Scarlett.
Well, this is nothing new. We've always had fake people. People have a tendency to say what they feel like you want them to say or be what you want them to be. But we've always had that. That's just society and just people as a whole. Even back during the biblical times, you know, we had fake people. And it's just as it is today. And we're always going to have fake people. It costs you nothing to be honest and to be true to yourself. But because of folks trying to jockey for position, titles, things of that nature, betrayals, people just are not real. And you have some that do, and when they are, sometimes people who are very honest and who are real, other folks are looking at them, and sometimes they pay a cost for the honesty and they pay a cost for being real. But I was always told that you may not have a lot of friends being honest, but you have the right ones when you are. So I've always been of the mindset to go after the right friends and to really be true to who I am in my core, within my core. And other people are the same way. But you have to deal with that in society, and you just have to be aware and know that. And when you encounter people who aren't real, who aren't honest, who will say one thing and do something else, who will betray you, stab behind your back as well as look at you, you just have to know that's just the way society is, and you just have to learn to, you know, surmount these difficulties and keep going on with your life and who you are and who you are as a core person. Just make sure that you are real and honest with people. And that doesn't mean being ugly or being overbearing. You can be honest and be gentle at the same time when you need to. But then when people ask your honest opinion, you know, give it as best, you know, as you would. And I always have tried to do it. I know you're the same way.
Exactly, Scott.
That's why the show is called. That's why the show is called Real Talk.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Real Talk, and that's what it's all about. And what Scott is saying is so true. And you know, it's been in existence of fake people who pretend to be with you, supporting you, until the times get rough. Normally, those people will disappear. And they won't be there, and it's always sort of like been like that in life. But as we move into this millennium or into the millennium, we find out more people are functioning that way, even in relationships. And when we're talking about relationships, not only talking about whether you're in a relationship with somebody intimate to the point, but when you take upon somebody that you call your friend, and I think that word is being used just easily being used when you're talking to people. You don't even know people, and you holler, friend, friend, friend. And I think when you call somebody a friend, that means something. We can go and look at social media. You know, you go on Facebook, somebody, this is a friend request. The bottom line is you don't know who's on the other side of that keyboard putting in, making that request to be a friend. So we can kind of look at it in that sense, too. Now, we don't know if they're real or they're fake. You know, they can put any picture they want to put up there. They can even put any voice up there because we can talk through the computer. We can do a lot of things. So the thing, society is, it seemed like we've gotten to the part, this point where everybody's sort of like feeling that being, you know, you don't have to be, you don't have to be honest sometimes with people. You know, and it's just, being straight up is not what it's all about, more so now than I can say at any time. When, you know, we go back when we talk about 30, 40, 50 years ago, we always put in a traditional time. Now we're in a conventional time, and it's okay to do some things and say you in support or you're not in support. You know, it's just like in a relationship. You know, you meet somebody, and they always say about, you know, and I'm not going to say they're fake people, but we'll put that sort of in the category, you know, they send their representative. And that representative is not true. It's not truly them, but they send in somebody that's going to tell you everything you want to hear, say everything you want them to say, or they going to act away. But the truth of the matter, they, when they really show themselves, recognize it. But sometimes you can't recognize because they put it on this persona. They put it on this air about themselves. This is the way they are when they're really not. So I can put that in the category of fake people, people who want to more or less show you a way they are when they're really not. Then once you turn over whatever you're going to turn over, you know, to a point personally with them, and then you see the real person. So you can kind of put that in that category as being fake people. And you can put other things, you can put it on there, but like Scarlett said, there's been fake people for years. They've been from the biblical time, people been fake, and we know that. And it still carry on. The ideal is, why do we have to deal with that? Why can't people just be honest with you? Why can't people just not try to sell you something because they trying to get something from you that's going to benefit them? And when you don't go along with them, they get upset with you because it seems like we're all out trying to get as much as we can in a situation. So I consider that part of that fake action. Even in families, we have people that may not be in support with you. It's one of the things, and I want to share this right quick, Scarlett. I was at a meeting in Atlanta last year in regards to the possibility of running for a political position. And one of the things they said is that you're going to get more opposition, you're going to get more saying they support you from your family members, but turn out they really don't support you. And a lot of times, even in situations in our family, we have people that you can put in that category, fake people, even though they're family members. And it comes a little harder to you, and it hurts more when you know that your family members, and I was just using that example because they didn't say that those people would be fake people, but they said get that assurance from them whether they're going to support you before you even consider running for a political position. But a lot of time we know, even in our gatherings, there are some people that's not even supporting us in our family. We're split because we have people that pretending to say, okay, we family, but if it don't go their way, they don't care anything else about you and don't want to deal with you. But you can share your thoughts on that, Scarlett, if you want to.
Well, basically, everything you just said is also true. Where you call it fake people, I call them liars.
Come on,
man. That's what you are, and that's what we're seeing in our country now. You know, I mean, you know, let's stop pretending and using these words that you know, kind of just say what it is. I would rather for someone to say truthfully, and in your situation, you know, I can't support you. You know, that's the truth. And you can talk about it and have a discussion about, well, why? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk to each other anymore. Everything is behind a keyboard or whatever the case may be. And even though we call, you know, you have Facebook friends, no, you don't know many of them on there, but that's not the way Facebook first started out. It really was to connect with old friends, roommates, family members that you hadn't seen and talked to in a long time. It's now gone into something else. And now that we have all this fake news that we knew nothing about until all this started in the White House with fake news, everything is suspect now because you don't know who you're talking to or who you're dealing with. So it hurts. It does. And it also discourages you. Sometimes you just feel why even bother, because when you really put yourself out there, like this your nationwide, international, this father's daughter radio blog, you know that there are people jealous of that. And let's just call it what it is, jealousy.
Yep.
And what I used to be told when I first started in education, the crab bucket mentality, that I can't see you rise or get out of the bucket because I'm going to take my claws and pull you back down here with us, you know, to make sure you understand that. So jealousy, lying, betrayals, you know, that's just society and just what's in our society as a whole. And until we are really true to who we are as individuals, because first it starts with you, the individual. What do you believe? What are your core beliefs? Because there are some things, there are a lot of things, and there are many things that if you're true to yourself, you're not going to do. You're just not. You're not going to go away from your principles. And I think that's what's so sad, if I take it back to a political situation now. But what is really upsetting me in our country, because the principles and the foundations and the decency that we have as people, it just seems to be all out in the window now. Whatever goes, goes. Whatever said is said. Whatever fake news and, you know, and whatever lies are told, you know, that's what it is. And so that's in our society more prevalent now, and more prevalent now because we do have all these areas where we can connect very quickly now, where back during, 10 and 20 and 30, even, 30 years ago and beyond, you know, you met at the church, you met a community at the school or whatever for community meetings and stuff. We don't talk to each other anymore. And it's easy to hide behind saying something negative and ugly about someone over a keyboard rather than just having a face-to-face conversation. We had a young man here in Greenville, and you probably heard the name Brandon Pendarvis Brown. He's also worked with Joe Biden big time, and he ran for the Senate from, the House of Representatives from this area. And basically, he's run a couple times now, and he does a great job. He's just a great, and he's a Sigma. But the bottom line is, after the election was over, someone who owns a business here in the community, you know, in the city, posted some awful things and just talked about him unmercifully. You know, it was just terrible. And had he ever sat down to talk with him or not, I'm not sure. But the bottom line is, you know, that's a place I'm boycotting. I've never been in there. I want to go in there into his business, but I'm not going in there because that wasn't necessary. Why do you have to be ugly to somebody? You know, your candidate won. So then why in the world are you going on and on and on about this young man's race, character, and all these things? You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't necessary, but it's easy to do that when you can get on and just, you know, do a couple of tweets, you know, Instagrams or whatever case may be, and then, you know, you can hide behind that. So,
Scarlett,
we have a call.
Not to cut you off.
That's where we are.
We have a caller. We have a caller on the line, and we want to make you, yes, we want to give them an opportunity. The caller was 7112. We'll ask you now to let us know who you are, where you're calling from, and join in with the conversation once you do that.
Hello, Dr. Smith and Ms. Smith. I'm glad to be a part of the show. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello.
And I just wanted to say I agree with you 100% that there was a time and that a man was as good as his word. And that went for women, too, but it was just said a man is as good as his word. And those were the days that basically if you went against your word, then you were shunned by the community. You were shamed because you were dirt. You lied or you stole from somebody or anything like that. You were shamed. You were an outcast until you proved yourself otherwise. Somebody gave you a chance or an opportunity to prove yourself.
Amen.
So,
amen.
That is so true.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That is so
and, you know,
true.
We know that, and the thing about having it's a man, as you say, as good as his word. And a lot of time, you know, as I was told as a young man by my father, that you know, don't make a commitment if you're not willing to stand up for it. And that's what people have an opportunity. They can tell you, as Scarlett said, you know, tell you a lie and keep lying to you. So we do appreciate you calling and appreciate you sharing your thoughts here. But we want you to.
My daddy used to tell me to look a person in the eyes whenever I talked to them. And your daughter was absolutely right. We don't talk to each other anymore because of all this technology that we have. And so that takes us away from that. That takes us away from looking somebody in the eye and knowing we're lying to them or we're not lying to them because we just type it in on the text board.
That's awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it, and we want you to stay on the line, and we, you know, and continue to listen to the show. And we do appreciate that thought. We pretty much thank you. Okay, then Scarlett, you know, we just got individuals that's ready to talk about. Not quite yet. I'm off on that one because it just buzzed up and went back off. But we got individuals that want to talk about this, and hopefully they continue to call in. We do appreciate that caller for sharing their thoughts on it. Now we're going to kind of take a step, and we, you know, we can stay on this all night because we can use example after example. But we want to kind of look at some things that are occurring now in our educational venue. Pretty much some issues dealing with education. They had two particular that very hot topics. I feel like because this was something we measure how a person would be successful in college. And the question is, why do some colleges don't rely on SATs or ACT scores anymore? They don't rely to determine pretty much something. You know, it's a little bit of the criteria, but why they don't rely on the ACT and SAT scores. And, for example, I'm going to use a situation down in Florida where the young lady scored something, I'm going to say about 26 or above, 28, and they're challenging her score, saying that, you know, you really didn't perform to that level, and this student is an excellent student and performing at that level. And but, however, as we say, why our colleges are no longer using it, and I feel that they're not using it because their individuals and other cultural are not scoring as high as they should be scoring. So they got to keep the door open for them as well as they open the door for other races of individuals. So That's the way I see it. Now, you can share your thoughts on that, Scott, and we'll move forward with the next topic.
And Attorney Benjamin Crump, I think, is her attorney, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Correct. Correct.
She scored the second time that she took the SAT, she scored, I think it was 200 points higher, and they didn't believe it. Let me tell you my history. I was the director of the SAT center when I lived in North Carolina and worked at the as a counselor at the high school. And I was the first Black at that high school to be afforded that opportunity. And trust me when I tell you, there were people that paid folks to come. I had a situation where it was challenged where someone had paid someone that looked like him to come and take the SAT. And so that was a challenge. In this situation, this young lady had get the SAT test prep and all those things. Personally, mm-hmm. I'm so glad that a lot of schools and universities are not relying on it like they did back during my day and going back to, you know, other folks that they relied on that a particular test, ACT or SAT. First of all, I believe in test bias. I also believe that when you have not had a lot of experiences, that a lot of the questions that are on the test that you may not have had will also affect you. And a lot of our kids did not have the opportunity to do test prep and all these things, you know, to improve their scores. I believe in a portfolio method where you're taking in their life experiences, what they're doing in school, their community service, things of that nature. That's just me personally. That's how I feel about, you know, about that, because I've seen so much test bias in my career. So I'm glad that they're not relying heavily on that. And, of course, as we continue to move on, and it's going to be harder for some to be selected to some of these colleges and universities because of what's happening in our education department in this country, you know, that they're trying to really dismantle a lot of things that would help a lot of at-risk children and students of color. So those are my thoughts on that.
Exactly. And what we have to realize is that I never thought any standardized test is going to determine the success of a student, success of someone in a certain field. It gives you a certain level where you think they may perform. You know, it was so amazing. I don't know whether Scott, you remember a long time ago when they used to have the SAT levels of tests. What was the 7, 8, nine, and it was a test that everybody in the country was using. But they also had a part where it was not so much as doing reading math. It was just your ability, called a school ability test or something like that. And those students had an opportunity to take that part. It was like 5 parts of it because it went from levels, I think, 6, 7, 8 to 10. The last time I know in the state of Alabama took the SAT, it was called a SAT 10. And the point was you had a school ability. You have where determine the student ability. I think that's what we need to be focused on when we're talking about testing people to see where their ability is. And as we look at that, I want to kind of take this picture because you can't determine because I pass a test, I'm going to be a good teacher. You got to have something else in place, and I'm going to go to it since we're talking about education. Yes, the ACT is important to get in teacher's education program. I'm going to use teacher's education. You're going to need ACT or SAT score. But you also have to go through now, and I don't know what they're doing in South Carolina, but I know in Georgia and Alabama they're doing, they call it EdTPA, and it's an education performance assessment that they do, and this is not about sitting down taking a test. Now, it has a minimum scoring score that you have to have, which is 37, and everybody's 30, but the highest you can get is 70. And what it does is take 18 areas that a person would perform in the area of teaching lesson plans. They allow them to do video clips, and then they have to do commentary
like
dealing
like
with that. It's a electronic
like a portfolio.
That's what I'm getting. And that's something the state of Alabama just moved toward using for teachers to be certified. It ain't said the teacher that's going to high school. Yeah, they got to pass the practice too. But the point is, they ain't looking for that. They're looking whether you can perform, because I had two students previously that I worked with the last semester, because I am an adjunct professor at the university. And those two students, I deal with student intern, and I was able to sit down with them and saw them perform, watch their clips. And I can say, you got the best mechanism in place to determine whether you're going to be least performing. Proficient enough to be in a classroom. Go ahead on, Scarlett. You was about to say something.
No, I agree with you. And also, I think I told the story the last time we talked about the situation where one of the folks in our district was a custodian, college degree, person couldn't pass the exam. And I'm like you, I sat down with him, and we were able to go through some of the indicators that he needed. And he got it. And he's now one of the top coaches in the district. But wonder if someone had not, what if he had not said all that? And what if no one had brought to our attention? You know what I'm saying? He would still be a district custodial person, and nothing's wrong with that. But he had gone to school, and he just tried so many times to pass the test and just couldn't do it.
Exactly.
And it's these little things that you know, glad that you're there at the university, because it's just these kind of things. It just sometimes just takes you under by the hand, or under your wing, or whatever, and just sit and talk through it and work through it. Then you get them where they need to, you know, kids and adults and young people need to be. I worry about getting discouraged, though, because of just not being where you want to go. You know, if you got a dream to go to a particular college or university, you can't get there because of a test score. I just got a problem with that, and that's why I just believe in the portfolio, electronic portfolio, whatever portfolio method. I also believe that for kids in school, elementary, middle, and high school, you know, that sometimes kids are just, you know, there's a phobia about it for some. You know, they just get full of anxiety and just can't think. And just looking at that one measure is not enough for me. You know, you need to bring in all these other things. Look at their homework and all the things that they've done, you know, throughout the course of the year, and just keep adding to it and trying to get them to where they need to be.
Exactly. So, you know, that's the topic we're talking about. Share your thoughts on it. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to identify yourself and your location. All right, let's kind of move to the next topic, and it's about charter schools. And the question is, why do charter schools select the easier-going students? I guess I'm trying to say they select a certain criteria to say, you know, do the parents play a part in it? So these students are going to be easy to get along. They're going to do what we have to do, and they leave in our traditional school those students that have problems. The question is, why do they have this selection process when they only select the easier going students for those schools, and which is called our charter schools?
Well, basically because they can. And when they write up the charter, they pretty much, you know, put these guidelines in there because they can. And because when you have to show the legislators and you're draining money from the public school in order to run the charter schools, but they do that because it's allowable and because they can prove with the test scores and things of that nature that they're really teaching. They got great students, and the test scores will come out, all this, that, and the other. But you better look behind what's really going on. And sometimes in some of our communities, especially in the urban areas, if the public schools are considered failing schools, then those students who are ideal student for these charter schools, you know, are pulled in that direction, and parents really feel like they're getting a quality education. We have some really wonderful charter schools in this country. I mean, they're really top notch, and we have two I can tell you here in this county that are really exceptional. And we got some that you really need to take a look behind the curtain. You know, it's like, you know, when you really got behind the curtain, you really saw Oz, and Oz wasn't all that scary big figure what you thought he was. You know, you better look behind the curtain, folks, and really ask questions, not only of the public schools, because I really do think you need to ask a lot of questions, too, about who's teaching your children, what curriculums are being offered, and the quality of the program. And I'm serious about that. Well, the same thing you asked there, the same thing you need to ask about these charter schools, too. Who is teaching your children? What are their qualifications? And what is really behind the curtain? Because the first time, you know, children that have discipline problems or are coming to a discipline problem in a charter school, they can put you out. And no questions asked. Mm-hmm. And there's really nothing you can do about it.
Exactly. You know, and that's what we got to realize. You know, in Montgomery right now, you know, we really don't have any charter schools. It's soon to be what they call conversion. They're going to convert what they call conversion charter school, where they're going to convert three schools, which is at each grade level, to be a charter school. And this has been approved, you know, by the Board of Education. And, you know, this is something the superintendent is all behind, but it still has charter schools on it. And the thing about a conversion was to avoid having startup. And people don't understand there's two types. You have a startup with charter school when you have to come and present your plan. Then you have conversion where you actually taking over schools that's already existing. You're still trying to convince me that it's going to be a public school. But the bottom line, it's a public school, but you still have the same criteria that any other charter school that had to start up with. You still have your board. You have all that still in existence. And the thing about it, you have to make sure not only, as Ms. Black said, was that who's teaching your children, whether it's in a public setting, private setting, or charter school, or parochial school, or Catholic school, you have to know who's teaching your children. Because I ran into a situation in regards to here where I am dealing with a middle school that spent the full semester without a math teacher for eighth grade students. They didn't have a math. They still don't have one, as far as I know. So this is a public school now. So if you ain't going to do it there, just think how crippling that is for a child miss a semester or math. All they was doing was worksheets. They was doing work, but nobody's cheating. They didn't call themselves being a little because they don't want to work hard to get the right qualified people. They want to put on the video stream of a teacher down the hall teaching. Come on now. Our children need hands-on. Our children need interaction. Yes. So I had a major problem with that. For this semester, they don't know how far those children are behind. Those math students are behind for a full year, not just the last semester, which is like 89 days or 90 days, 93, 94. They're out for a whole, and the system is not getting it. But you are more promoting a conversion charter school over in the west side, which is in a black neighborhood, because, you know, we thinking because the face on talking about the charter school may have the same face that we have, but not. They're not. The people behind it is pressing to have a charter school because we had a big battle between the city as well as the school system, where the city want to start their own school system, where all the schools in the public school system in the city, as well as private schools as well. So you got this big fight, and all of a sudden one of the person that they support is now getting the go-ahead to do a conversion charter school. What is the problem here? It doesn't matter where they are. We need to know who's teaching our children, what they're teaching our children. Don't allow these parents, I feel like, are being upraised for a child a whole year, I mean, a whole semester of 80 or 90 some days missing out on math.
But the reason they do it is because our parents do not act with urgency and being outraged. You know, the squeaky wheel, what's the old saying, the squeaky wheel that makes the noise all the time is the one that they're going to make sure get what they want. We have got to start being advocates for us. And we talk about this every time we meet with Real Talk. The Real Talk is stop waiting for someone to come in and do it for us. On the white horse, as if Dr. Livy was here, we would say, you know, we have got to do it. We have got to be the change agents. We have got to be the change. And when you lay down and just let it roll over you, it's going to roll over you. And when you realize it, it's going to be too late. And what's happening in Los Angeles as of today with the teachers striking, the public school teachers are trying to call to their attention because there have been a lot of charter schools that have started out there. I don't know if it's conversion or startups. It might be a combination of both. They haven't had a strike in 30 years. 30 years. But they said that they were tired of funds being drained from the public school system to go to these charter schools. And they can't find librarians. They cannot find counselors, school counselors, and things of this nature for what the children need, and that they're buying supplies and stuff out of their pockets. But they're sitting out there in that district, the second largest school district in the United States of America, with a $2 billion surplus. Now, something's wrong with this picture where it's not being used. And the superintendent is telling those people that they just don't have the funds. It's not true. And then you have at the Department of Education, a person who is the Secretary of Education for the United States of America, who has never been in a classroom, who is not a teacher, who is not even in the educational field. This is a political favor. And she is a multimillionaire. And she is also a big proponent of charter schools. Instead of trying to save our school public schools in this country. And the Department of Education is dismantling a lot of things that affect those of us that look like me and you and poor kids in this country. And this has got to stop. But if we don't say anything about it and we don't raise our voices and we don't demand better, we won't get better.
Exactly. And, you know, Scarlett, that's what we want everybody to do. Make sure they call in 347-857-4192. Now, I'm going to allow our caller who called early to come back with a 7112, and she want to share her thoughts on this topic we're talking about. So you're on the air now. You can share your thoughts, and if you don't mind, if you can share your name with us, it will be even better. Then you can share your thoughts on this topic we're talking about.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. My name is Suzette.
Suzette, okay. Okay.
Okay. I think you guys do great tag teaming back and forth with your information. It's all good. I just wanted to say something that I heard that I thought was good or different about the charter schools, and that's because you spoke about the strike in Los Angeles. Well, the charter school teachers are not union. And so if you have a teacher that's like a pedophile or that was abused your child, they can get fired on the spot, which is good in the sense of they don't get to take leave or get to go to another school and teach and, you know, still get their pension and tenure when they don't deserve it. And there's a lot of kids suffering because of that. I know across the nation, I have two kids myself, but they're grown now. But I think that part is good. I don't like the fact that I'm paying taxes for the public school and then have to pay for bad teachers. Not saying all teachers are bad, but the fact that they can hold the kids hostage because if they decide to strike because they don't like their contract, I'm still paying my taxes for their pay that they still get to collect, but they're just not teaching. I don't think that's fair. That was
awesome,
all I wanted.
Jack,
as a former school, and thank you so much for your comment.
You.
As a former school principal who had to deal with all of that, but and your comment is duly noted and respected. So
thank you
for sharing.
Thank you.
Exactly.
The thing is that the majority of the school systems in this union, where I am in South Carolina, this is a no unions here at all. I don't know about Alabama or other places, but a lot of schools are not union. And some of the urban areas like L.A., New York, and those places, yeah, you're going to have union employees. But we have pedophiles, everything, and these non-union areas, too, that we have to deal with. I had to deal with someone who was posting porn, and I took it all the way. In fact, it lost the contract, lost her teaching license, can't teach anywhere ever again in any state. So it depends on your focus, and that was my focus, because I was going to put the best in front of our children. And anybody less than that, because some of these people do slip through the cracks if they've been in multiple states, and states are not sharing information about these people, and that happened in that situation.
That's good.
So I agree with what you're saying, and I understand that, but, you know, again, a lot of school system districts in this country are not unionized.
What do you think about,
you know, depending on where it is.
What do you think about the education system being handled by the states and leaving the federal government out of it? Because that lady that the president had put for education, I agree. She doesn't have no background. She did is donate money to put kids in charter schools, and that's it.
That's right.
That's all then. You know, she doesn't belong there. And I
she
think
gave
that,
money
as
to
a whole.
Campaign. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think that as a whole, that they should just stay out of it, and it should be left up to the states, and the states leave it up to their counties and their cities, because it's their communities that are suffering or can be helped and benefit, you know, one of the two.
Well, you have to be careful of the state, too, because if the Secretary of Education, your state secretary, is an elected person or appointed, our governor on this past election, where we were always able to vote for the Secretary of Education in South Carolina, he now, that was changed with this election, he's now appointed. That's why elections have consequences.
Yes.
And if you're in the right party, if you're not in the right party, it's really hard, especially in the southern states, to get through to some of these barriers. So now he's able to appoint the Secretary of Education, even though I voted against it. I really feel like it still should have been an elected position. That way, the people decide who that Secretary of Education is, and we get a chance to look at that background or whatever, but it can be just the same thing like happening at the national level. Someone who's contributed to a campaign, someone who's not education background, can be appointed. And a lot of these states do have appointed Secretary of Education as well as at the national level. So it's a catch-22 everywhere you go. And again, elections have consequences. And if you're not paying attention, if you're not reading and keeping up with what's going on in this country in terms of our institutions, then if you don't vote, we get what we get.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, you know, I know that these people will word things trickily, too. They make it, I'm sorry, that's not even a word, but they get tricky with their wording. I live here in California.
That's a good
word. And they'll word things all tricky-like.
That's a good word.
And so you think you're voting for something, and it's actually you end up voting against it because of the way it was worded,
exactly.
Or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
people have to pay attention.
That's awesome. You know, I tell you, I really appreciate you calling in, and you know, I want you to continue. We're getting ready to close the show out. We're about to close the show out. We do an hour, and we really get excited. Sometimes we could go much longer, but we want to keep within our time.
Well, we covered
and
a lot of topics tonight, though.
Oh yes, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts with us, and we look forward to you doing it again. But we are at the end of the hour, and I'd like to try to close this out right now. We had some outstanding topics, and those topics focus around social issues and educational issues. We did have some topics related to relationships, but, you know, since we had such a good time talking about those two, we can save the relationship to our next show, which will be in 2 weeks. We're going to do it every other Monday, so that'll be on the 28th. So we look forward to everybody joining us as well as our caller did, and we do appreciate it. We have other callers sometime and just listen to the show, and we appreciate you listening to the show. So as we close this show out tonight, I'm going to ask Scarlett to just share her closing remarks with it, and I'll do the same, and then we'll look for you joining us again in 2 weeks on the 28th. Scarlett, it's in your hand right now.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and again, it's been an honor to be with you tonight and our listeners, to the wonderful lady called in. Thank you so much for calling and sharing your thoughts with us, and respect your comments. We respect everyone that listens and tune in to hear us every other week. This has been a wonderful show. Tonight we covered more topics. We got three in instead of just one. Normally we don't get past one because we get so passionate and caught up in what we're talking about. But just know that the real talk is about really empowering us, each individual, to make a difference. Whether you have a high school diploma degree or no degree or whatever, it doesn't matter. The thing is, it affects all of us, regardless of race or religion, doesn't matter. Our institutions, who we are as Americans, democracy, all these things affect all of us. So don't, well, what's the thing now? Stay woke.
Stay woke.
But I'm going to say it like it should be said. Stay awake and don't
stay
go
awake.
To sleep. Stay awake and don't go to sleep. And then don't roll over. Don't let things roll over any of us. Be an advocate. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cost you anything to have the courage to say what it is you need to say. And then don't be fake with it. We started off with about the fake. Don't be fake with it. Be real and be true to who you are as an individual. Now, if you're just a fake person, and that's your true core, you know. But I'm trying to say, you know, be real and be honest. And not roll over about things that are really affecting us as a country. That's all I have to say.
Awesome.
And thank you again, everyone, for calling in tonight and for tuning in.
Thank you so much for being here, Scarlett. You know, she's always, we're going to be duo. We'll be duo until we can stop being duo. We just two of us. Can't get it out tonight. But, you know, it's so exciting. It was an awesome show tonight. Like I always say, we might not get but one or two topics, but we're going to keep it real. It's all about real talk 2019. This is our first show of 2019, and we brought you some hot topics, and we do appreciate each and every one of you all joining us, as well as our caller, as well as the other individual who's online and chose not to say anything, but we know you're listening. You know, as I always say at the end of the show, and as I bring forth, you know, the closing of the show with the music, now our next show would be on the 28th with Keeping Real to You, but also on Wednesday, this upcoming Wednesday, we have our sports version of it, Talking Sports Plus at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And on Friday, we have Balling with the Doc, and we want to make sure you join us. And it's at 4 o'clock on Friday with Balling with the Doc. And then we'll come back and take that week off and break. Well, more or less in regards to the Monday night show, we'll be back at you on the 28th. So we said, you know, just keep on grinding. That's what we're going to do. Hashtag keep on grinding. Hashtag communicate for understanding. And last but not least, we do not own the rights to this music, but we want you to enjoy yourself while you're listening to it. It's the best days yet. And we got to understand that's what it's all about. And I'm going to say, I love you. And ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night. And we will talk to you on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Good night.
You ain't seen your next day yet.
You ain't seen your next day yet.
It's greater. It's greater.
Thank you.